And now chapter 14 of the Madhya Leela, performance of the Vrindavan pastimes.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.
Accompanied by his personal devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the festival known as Lakshmi Vijayotsava. There he discussed the super excellent love of the gopis. Just by hearing about them, he became very pleased and danced in great ecstatic love for the Lord. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Gaura Chandra. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaitacharya, who is so exalted. All glories to all the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur. All glories to all the readers who have taken Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their life and soul. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resting in ecstatic love, Maharaj Prataparudra entered the garden. Following Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's instructions, the king had given up his royal dress. He now entered the garden in the dress of a Vaishnav. Maharaj Prataparudra was so humble that, with folded hands, he first took permission from all the devotees. Then, with great courage, he fell down and touched the lotus feet of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying on the ground with his eyes closed in ecstatic love and emotion, and the king very expertly began to massage his legs. The king began to recite verses about the Ras Leela from Srimad Bhagavatam. He recited the chapter beginning with the words, Jayati Te Vikam. This is from the 10th canto, chapter 31. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these verses, he was pleased beyond limits, and he said again and again, "Go on reciting, go on reciting." As soon as the king recited the verse, beginning with the words, "Tava Katamritam," the Lord immediately arose in ecstatic love and embraced him. Upon hearing the verses recited by the king, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Ah, you have given me invaluable gems, but I have nothing to give you in return. Therefore, I am simply embracing you." After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the same verse again and again. Both the king and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were trembling and tears were flowing from their eyes. The king recited from the Srimad Bhagavatam, My Lord, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities, and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers. After hearing the recitation of this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced the reciter, King Prataparudra, and cried, "You are the most munificent! You are the most munificent!" At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not even know who the king was. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy was aroused because of the king's previous service. Therefore, without even asking who he was, the Lord immediately bestowed his mercy upon him. How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu! Without even inquiring about the king, the Lord made everything successful. Finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Who are you? You have done so much for me. All of a sudden, you have come here and made me drink the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Krishna." The king replied, "My lord, I am the most obedient servant of your servants. It is my ambition that you will accept me as the servant of your servants." At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed some of his divine opulences to the king, and he forbade him to disclose this to anyone. Although within his heart Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew everything that was happening, externally he did not disclose it, nor did he disclose that he knew he was talking with King Prataparudra. Seeing the Lord's special mercy upon King Prataparudra, the devotees praised the king's fortune, and their minds became open and blissful. Submissively offering prayers to the devotees with folded hands and offering obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king went outside. After this, Vaninath Rai brought all kinds of prasad, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted lunch with the devotees. The king also sent a large quantity of prasad through Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy, and Vaninath Rai. The prasad sent by the king had been offered at the Balagandhi festival and included uncooked milk products and fruits. It was all of the finest quality, and there was no end to the variety. There was curd, fruit juice, coconut, mango, dried coconut, jackfruit, various kinds of bananas and palm fruit seeds. There were also oranges, grapefruit, tangerines, almonds, dried fruit, raisins, and dates. There were hundreds of different types of sweetmeats, like Manohar Ladu, sweets like Amrita Gutika, and various types of condensed milk. There were also papayas and saravati, a type of orange, and also crushed squash. There was also regular cream, fried cream, and a type of puri made with cream. There were also sweets like Hari Vallabha, and sweets made of sanoti flowers, Karapura flowers, and Malati flowers. There were pomegranates, sweets made with black pepper, sweets made with fused sugar, and Amriti Jilapi. There were lotus flower sugar, a kind of bread made from urad dal, crispy sweetmeats, sugar candy, fried rice sweets, sesame seed sweets, and cookies made from sesame seeds. There was yogurt, milk, butter, buttermilk, fruit juice, a preparation made of fried yogurt and sugar candy, and salty mung dal sprouts with shredded ginger. There were sweetmeats made from sugarcane candy in the form of oranges, lemons, and mangoes, along with fruits, flowers, and leaves. There were also various types of pickles, lemon pickle, berry pickle, and so on. Indeed, I am not able to describe the variety of food offered to Lord Jagannath. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw half the garden filled with a variety of prasad, he was very satisfied. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fully satisfied just to see how Lord Jagannath accepted all the food. There then arrived 5 or 7 loads of plates made of the leaves of the kitaki tree. Each man was supplied 10 of these plates, and in this way the dishes were served. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood the labor of all the kirtan chanters. Therefore, he was very eager to feed them sumptuously. All the devotees sat down in lines, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally began to distribute the prasad. However, the devotees could not accept the prasad until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it. It was Swarup Damodar Goswami who informed the Lord of this. Swarup Damodar said, "My Lord, would you please sit down? No one will eat until you do." At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with his personal associates and fed every one of them very sumptuously until they were filled to the neck. After finishing, the Lord washed his mouth and sat down. There was so much extra prasad that it was distributed to thousands. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda, his personal servant, called for all the poor beggars who were unhappy due to their poverty and fed them sumptuously. Observing the beggars eating prasad, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, "Hari Bol!" and instructed them to chant the holy name. As soon as the beggars chanted the holy name, Hari Bol, they were immediately absorbed in ecstatic love of Godhead. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed wonderful pastimes. Outside the garden, when it was time to pull Jagannath's car, all the workers called godas tried to pull it, but it would not move forward. When the godas saw that they could not budge the car, they abandoned the attempt. Then the king arrived in great anxiety, and he was accompanied by his officers and friends. The king then arranged for big wrestlers to try to pull the car, and even the king himself joined in. But the car could not be moved. Becoming even more eager to move the car, the king had very strong elephants brought forth and harnessed to it. The strong elephants pulled with all their strength, but still the car remained at a standstill, not budging an inch. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this news, he went there with all his personal associates. They then stood there and watched the elephants try to pull the car. The elephants, being beaten by the elephant goad, were crying, but still the car would not move. The assembled people cried out, "Alas!" At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu let all the elephants go free and placed the car's ropes in the hands of his own men. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the back of the car and began to push with his head. It was then that the car began to move and ramble along, making a rattling sound. Indeed, the car began to move automatically, and the devotees simply carried the rope in their hands. Since it was moving effortlessly, they did not need to pull it. When the car moved forward, everyone began to chant with great pleasure, "All glories! All glories! All glories to Lord Jagannath!" No one could hear anything else. In a moment, the car reached the door of the Gundicha temple. Upon seeing the uncommon strength of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people were struck with wonder. The crowd made a tumultuous vibration, chanting, "Joy Gaura Chandra! Joy Sri Krishna Chaitanya!" Then the people began to chant, "Wonderful! Wonderful!" Seeing the greatness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prataparud Maharaj and his ministers and friends were so moved by ecstatic love that their hair stood on end. All the servants of Lord Jagannath then took him down from the car, and the Lord went to sit on his throne. Subhadra and Balaram also sat on their respective thrones. There followed the bathing of Lord Jagannath, and finally the offering of food. While Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram and Subhadra sat on their respective thrones, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees began to perform Sankirtan with great pleasure, chanting and dancing in the yard of the temple. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting and dancing, he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and all the people who saw him were also flooded in the ocean of love of Godhead. In the evening, after finishing his dancing in the yard of the Gundicha temple, the Lord observed the Aarti ceremony. Thereafter, he went to a place called Aitota and took rest for the night. For 9 days, 9 chief devotees, headed by Advaitacharya, got an opportunity to invite the Lord to their homes. During the 4 months of the rainy season, the remaining devotees extended invitations to the Lord for 1 day each. In this way, they shared invitations. For the 4 month period, all the daily invitations were shared among the important devotees. The rest of the devotees did not get an opportunity to extend an invitation to the Lord. Since they could not get 1 day each, 2 or 3 devotees combined to extend an invitation. These are the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of invitations. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna. After taking his bath early in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go see Lord Jagannath in the temple. Then he would perform Sankirtan with his devotees. By chanting and dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced Advaitacharya to dance. Sometimes he induced Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, and Achyutananda to dance. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged Vakrishvar and other devotees in chanting and dancing. 3 times daily, morning, noon, and evening, he would perform Sankirtan in the yard of the Gundicha temple. At this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt that Lord Krishna had returned to Vrindavan. Thinking this, his feelings of separation from Krishna subsided. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always thinking of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he remained personally merged in this consciousness. There were many gardens near the Gundicha temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees used to perform the pastimes of Vrindavan in each of them. in the lake named Indradyumna, he sported in the water. The Lord personally splashed all the devotees with water, and the devotees surrounding him on all sides also splashed the Lord. While in the water, they sometimes formed a circle, and sometimes many circles. And while in the water, they used to play cymbals and imitate the croaking of frogs. Sometimes two would pair off to fight in the water. One would emerge victorious and the other defeated, and the Lord would watch all this fun. The first sporting took place between Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, who threw water upon one another. Advaitacharya was defeated, and he later began to rebuke Nityananda Prabhu, calling him bad names. Svarup Damodar and Vidyanidhi also threw water upon one another, and Murari Gupta and Vasudev Dutt also sported in that way. Another duel took place between Srivas Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit, and yet another between Raghava Pandit and Bakrishvar Pandit. Thus they all engaged in throwing water. Indeed, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya engaged in water sports with Sri Ramananda Roy, and they both lost their gravity and became like children. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the exuberance of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy, he smiled and spoke to Gopinathacharya. "Tell Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy to stop their childish play, because they are both learned scholars and very grave and great personalities." Gopinathacharya replied, "I believe that one drop of the ocean of your great mercy has swelled up upon them. A drop from the ocean of your mercy can drown great mountains like Sumeru and Mundra. Since these two gentlemen are little hills by comparison, there is no wonder that they are being drowned in the ocean of your mercy. Logic is like a dry oil cake from which all the oil has been extracted. Bhattacharya passed his life in eating such dry cakes, but now you have made him drink the nectar of transcendental pastimes. It is certainly your great mercy upon him." After Gopinathacharya finished talking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and, calling for Advaitacharya, made him act like the Seshanaga bed. Lying down on Advaita Prabhu, who was floating on the water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated the pastime of Sheshashayi Vishnu. Manifesting his personal potency, Advaitacharya floated about on the water, carrying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After sporting in the water for some time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his place at Aitota, accompanied by his devotees. Paramananda Puri, Ramananda Bhadati, and all the other chief devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took lunch at the invitation of Advaitacharya. Whatever extra prasad was brought by Vaninath Rai was taken by the other associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the afternoon, the Lord went to the Gundicha temple to visit the Lord and dance. At night, he went to the garden to take rest. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went to the Gundicha temple and saw the Lord. He then chanted and danced in the yard for some time. Accompanied by his devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went into the garden and enjoyed the pastimes of Vrindavan. There were multifarious trees and creepers in the garden, and they were all jubilant to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, the birds were chirping, the bees were buzzing, and a cool breeze was blowing. as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced beneath each and every tree, Vasudev Dat sang alone. As Vasudev Dat sang a different song beneath each and every tree, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced there alone in great ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Vakrishvar Pandit to dance, and as he began to dance, the Lord began to sing. Then devotees like Swarup Damodar and other kirtan performers began to sing along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being inundated with ecstatic love, they all lost all consideration of time and circumstance. After thus performing pastimes in the garden for some time, they all went to a lake called Narendra Sarovara and there enjoyed sporting in the water. After sporting in the water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to the garden and accepted prasad with the devotees. For 9 continuous days, his lordship, Sri Jagannath Dev, stayed at the Gundicha temple. During this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also stayed there and performed the pastimes with his devotees that have already been described. The garden of his pastimes was very large and was named Jagannath Vallabha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his rest there for 9 days. Knowing that the Heda Panchami festival was drawing near, King Prataparudra attentively talked with Kashi Mishra. He said, "Tomorrow will be the function of Heda Panchami or Lakshmi Vijaya. Hold this festival in a way that it has never been held before. Hold this festival in such a gorgeous way that upon seeing it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be completely pleased and astonished. Take as many printed cloths, small bells, umbrellas, and chamaras as there are in my storehouse and in the deity's storehouse. Collect all kinds of small and large flags and ringing bells. Then decorate the carrier and have various musical and dancing parties to accompany it. In this way, decorate the carrier attractively. You should also double the quantity of prasad. Make so much that it will even surpass the Rath Yatra festival. Arrange the festival in such a way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may freely go with his devotees to visit the deity without difficulty." In the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his personal associates with him to see Lord Jagannath at Sundarachal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal devotees returned to Neelachal with great eagerness to see the Heda Panchami festival. Kashi Mishra received Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great respect, and taking the Lord and his associates to a very nice place, he had them seated. After taking his seat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear about a particular mellow of devotional service. Therefore, mildly smiling, he began to question Swarup Damodar. He said, "Although Lord Jagannath enjoys his pastimes at Dvarka Dham and naturally manifests sublime liberality there, still once a year he becomes unlimitedly eager to see Vrindavan." Pointing out the neighboring gardens, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "All these gardens exactly resemble Vrindavan. Therefore, Lord Jagannath is very eager to see them again. Externally, he gives the excuse that he wants to participate in the Rath Yatra festival. But actually, he wants to leave Jagannath Puri to go to Sundarachal, Gundicha Temple, the replica of Vrindavan. The Lord enjoys his pastimes day and night in various flower gardens there. But why did he not take Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, with him?" Swarup Damodar replied, "My dear Lord, please hear the reason for this. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, cannot be admitted to the pastimes of Vrindavan. In the pastimes of Vrindavan, the only assistants are the gopis. But for the gopis, no one can attract the mind of Krishna." The Lord said, "Using the car festival as an excuse, Krishna goes there with Subhadra and Baladev. All the pastimes with the gopis that take place in those gardens are very confidential ecstasies of Lord Krishna. No one knows them. Since there is no fault at all in Krishna's pastimes, why does the goddess of fortune become angry? Swarup Damodar replied, "It is the nature of a girl afflicted by love to become immediately angry upon finding neglect on the part of her lover." While Swarup Damodar and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were talking, the procession of the goddess of fortune came by. She was riding upon a golden palanquin carried by four men and bedecked with a variety of jewels. The palanquin was also surrounded by people carrying umbrellas, chamara whisks, and flags, and it was preceded by musicians and dancing girls. The maidservants were carrying water pitchers, chamara whisks, and boxes for betel nuts. There were hundreds of maidservants, all attractively dressed with valuable necklaces. In an angry mood, the goddess of fortune arrived at the main gate of the temple, accompanied by many members of her family, all of whom exhibited uncommon opulence. When the procession arrived, the maidservants of the goddess of fortune began to arrest all the principal servants of Lord Jagannath. The maidservants bound the servants of Jagannath, handcuffed them, and made them fall down at the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune. Indeed, they were arrested just like thieves who have all their riches taken away. When the servants fall down before the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune, they almost fall unconscious. They are chastised and made the butt of jokes and loose language. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates saw such impudence exhibited by the maidservants of the goddess of fortune, they covered their faces with their hands and began to smile. Swarup Damodar said, "There is no egoistic pride like this within the three worlds. At least I have neither seen nor heard of it. When a woman is neglected and disappointed, out of egoistic pride, she gives up her ornaments and morosely sits down on the floor, marking lines on it with her nails. I have heard of this kind of pride in Satyabhama, Krishna's proudest queen, and I have also heard of it in the gopis in Vrindavan, who are the reservoirs of all transcendental mellows. But in the case of the goddess of fortune, I see a different kind of pride. She manifests her own opulences and even goes with her soldiers to attack her husband." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please tell me of the varieties of egoistic pride manifest in Vrindavan." Swarup Damodar replied, "The pride of the gopis is like a river flowing with hundreds of tributaries. The characteristics and modes of love are different in different women. Their jealous anger also takes on different varieties and qualities. It is not possible to give a complete statement about the different types of jealous anger manifest by the gopis, but a few principles may serve as an indication. Now, there are three types of women experiencing jealous anger: sober women, restless women, and women both restless and sober. When a sober heroine sees her hero approaching from a distance, she immediately stands up to receive him. When he comes near, she immediately offers him a place to sit. The sober heroine conceals her anger within her heart and externally speaks sweet words. When her lover embraces her, she also returns his embrace. The sober heroine is very simple in her behavior. She keeps her jealous anger within her heart, but with mild words and smiles, she refutes the advances of her lover. The restless heroine, however, sometimes chastises her lover with cruel words, sometimes pulls his ear, and sometimes binds him with a flower garland. The heroine, who is a combination of sobriety and restlessness, always jokes with equivocal words. She sometimes praises her lover, sometimes blasphemes him, and sometimes remains indifferent. Heroines may also be classified as captivated, intermediate, and impudent. The captivated heroine does not know very much about the cunning intricacies of jealous anger. The captivated heroine simply covers her face and goes on crying. When she hears sweet words from her lover, she is very satisfied. Both the intermediate and impudent heroines can be classified as sober, restless, and both sober and restless. All their characteristics can be further classified in three divisions. Some of them are very talkative, some are mild, and some are equipoised. Each heroine, according to her own character, increases Sri Krishna's loving ecstasy. Although some of the gopis are talkative, some mild, some equipoised, all of them are transcendental and faultless. They please Krishna by their unique characteristics. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt unlimited happiness upon hearing these descriptions, and he again and again requested Swarup Damodar to continue speaking. Damodar Goswami said, "Krishna is the master of all transcendental mellows. He is the taster of transcendental mellows, and his body is composed of transcendental bliss. Krishna is full of ecstatic love and always subordinate to the love of his devotees. The gopis are very experienced in pure love and in the dealings of transcendental mellows. There is no flaw or adulteration in the love of the gopis. Therefore, they give Krishna the highest pleasure. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Lord Sri Krishna, who is the absolute truth, enjoyed his ras dance every night during the autumn season. He performed this dance in the moonlight and with full transcendental mellows. He used poetic words and surrounded himself with women who were very much attracted to him. The gopis can be divided into a left wing and a right wing. Both wings induce Krishna to taste transcendental mellows by various manifestations of ecstatic love. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the chief. She is a jewel mine of ecstatic love and the source of all purified transcendental conjugal mellows. Radharani has grown up, and her character is equipoised. She is always deeply absorbed in ecstatic love, and always feeling in the mood of a left-wing gopi. Because she is a left-wing gopi, her womanly anger is always awakening, but Krishna derives transcendental bliss from her activities. The progress of loving affairs between young couples is by nature crooked, like the movement of a snake. Because of this, two types of anger arise between young couples: anger with a cause and anger without a cause. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these talks, his ocean of transcendental bliss increased. He therefore told Swarup Damodar, "Go on speaking, yes, go on speaking." And thus Swarup Damodar continued, "Srimati Radharani's love is a highly advanced ecstasy. All her dealings are completely pure and devoid of material tinge. Indeed, her dealings are 10 times purer than gold. As soon as Radharani gets a chance to see Krishna, her body is suddenly decorated with various ecstatic ornaments. The transcendental ornaments of Srimati Radharani's body include 8 sattvikas, or transcendental symptoms, the 33 vyabhachari bhavs, beginning with harsha, or jubilation in natural love, and the 20 bhavas, or ecstatic emotional ornaments. Some of the symptoms critically explained in the following verses are kilakinchit, kutamit, vilas, lalit, vivok, motayit, mogidya, and shakit. When Srimati Radharani's body manifests the ornaments of many ecstatic symptoms, the ocean of Krishna's happiness immediately displays transcendental waves. Now hear a description of different ecstasies, beginning with kilakinchit. With these ecstatic ornaments, Srimati Radharani enhances the mind of Krishna. When Krishna sees Srimati Radharani and wants to touch her body, he prohibits her from going to the spot where one can cross the river Yamuna. Approaching her, Krishna prohibits Srimati Radharani from picking flowers. He may also touch her in front of her friends. At such times, the ecstatic symptoms of Kila Kanchit are awakened. First, there is jubilation in ecstatic love, which is the root cause of these symptoms. Then pride, ambition, weeping, smiling, envy, fear, and anger are the seven ecstatic loving symptoms manifest by a jubilant shrinking away. And these symptoms are called Kila Kanchit Bhav. There are seven other transcendental ecstatic symptoms, and when they combine on the platform of jubilation, the combination is called Mahabhav. The seven combined ingredients of Mahabhav are pride, ambition, fear, dry artificial crying, anger, envy, and mild smiling. There are eight symptoms of ecstatic love on the platform of transcendental jubilation. And when they are combined and tasted by Krishna, the Lord's mind is completely satisfied. Indeed, they are compared to a combination of yogurt, candy, ghee, honey, black pepper, camphor, and cardamom, which, when mixed together, are very tasty and sweet. Lord Krishna is thousands upon thousands of times more satisfied when he sees Srimati Radharani's face light up from this combination of ecstatic love than he is by direct union with her. May the sight of Srimati Radharani's Kila Kinchita ecstasy, which is like a bouquet, bring good fortune to all. When Sri Krishna blocked Radharani's way to the Danagati, there was laughter within her heart. Her eyes grew bright, and fresh tears flowed from her eyes, reddening them. Due to her sweet relationship with Krishna, her eyes were enthusiastic. And when her crying subsided, she appeared even more beautiful. Agitated by tears, Srimati Radharani's eyes were tinged with red, just like the eastern horizon at sunrise. Her lips began to move with jubilation and lusty desire. Her eyebrows curved, and her lotus-like face smiled mildly. Seeing Radharani's face exhibit such emotion, Lord Sri Krishna felt a million times happier than when he embraced her. Indeed, Lord Sri Krishna's happiness is not at all mundane. Upon hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy, and being absorbed in this happiness, he embraced Swarup Damodar Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked Swarup Damodar, "Please speak of the ecstatic ornaments decorating the body of Srimati Radharani, by which she enchants the mind of Sri Govinda." Being thus requested, Swarup Damodar began to speak. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were very happy to hear him. Sometimes, when Srimati Radharani is sitting, or when she is going to Vrindavan, she sometimes sees Krishna. The symptoms of various ecstasies that become manifest at that time are called vilas. The various symptoms manifested in a woman's face, eyes, and the other parts of her body, and the way she moves, stands, or sits when she meets her beloved are called vilas. Timidity, jubilation, ambition, respect, fear, and the characteristics of the left-wing gopis were all ecstatic symptoms combined to agitate Srimati Radharani. When Srimati Radharani saw Lord Krishna just before her, her progress stopped, and she assumed an attitude of opposition. Although her face was slightly covered by a blue garment, her two starry eyes were agitated, being wide and curved. Thus she was decorated with the ornaments of vilas, and her beauty increased to give pleasure to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Srimati Radharani stands before Krishna, she stands bent in three places, her neck, waist, and legs, and her eyebrows, they dance. When there is an awakening of various ecstatic teachers on Srimati Radharani's face and in her eyes, the Lalita ornaments are manifest. When the bodily features are delicate and expertly curved, and when the eyebrows are very beautifully agitated, the ornaments of charm called Lalita Alankar is manifest. When Lord Sri Krishna happens to see Srimati Radharani decorated with these Lalita ornaments, they both anxiously want to meet one another. when Srimati Radharani was decorated with the ornament of Lalita Alankar, just to increase Sri Krishna's love, an attractive curve was manifest by her neck, knees, and waist. This was brought about by her timidity and apparent desire to avoid Krishna. The flickering movements of her eyebrows could conquer the powerful bow of Cupid. To increase the joy of her beloved's love, her body was decorated with the ornaments of Lalita Alankar. When Krishna comes forward and greedily snatches at the border of Radharani's sari, she is actually very pleased within, but overtly, she tries to stop him. This ecstatic dress of Srimati Radharani is called Kutamita. When it is manifest, she externally tries to avoid Krishna, and she apparently becomes angry, although she is really very happy within. When the border of her sari and the cloth veiling her face are caught, she externally appears offended and angry, but within her heart, she is very happy. Learned scholars call this attitude Kutamita. Although Srimati Radharani was checking her sari with her hand, internally she was thinking, "Oh, let Krishna satisfy his desires." In this way she was very pleased within, although she externally displayed opposition and anger. Srimati Radharani externally displays a kind of dry crying, as if she is offended. Then she mildly smiles and admonishes Lord Krishna. Actually, she has no desire to stop Krishna's endeavor to touch her body with his hands, yet Srimati Radharani, whose thighs are like the trunk of a baby elephant, protests his advances and, sweetly smiling, admonishes him. At such times, she cries without tears on her charming face. In this way, Srimati Radharani is ornamented and decorated with various ecstatic symptoms which attract the mind of Sri Krishna. It is not at all possible to describe the unlimited pastimes of Sri Krishna, even though he himself describes them in his incarnation of Sahasra Vadan, the thousand-mouthed Sheshanag. This time, Srivas Thakur smiled and told Damodar Pandit, "My dear sir, please hear. Just see how opulent my goddess of fortune is. As far as Vrindavan's opulence is concerned, it consists of a few flowers and twigs, some minerals from the hills, a few peacock feathers, and the plant known as Gunja. When Jagannath decided to see Vrindavan, he went there, and upon hearing this, the goddess of fortune experienced restlessness and jealousy. She wondered, why did Lord Jagannath give up so much opulence and go to Vrindavan? To make him a laughingstock, the goddess of fortune made arrangements for much decoration. Then the maidservants of the goddess of fortune said to the servants of Lord Jagannath, why did your Lord Jagannath abandon the great opulence of the goddess of fortune, and for the sake of a few leaves, fruits, and flowers, go see the flower garden of Srimati Radharani? Your master is so expert at everything, but why does he do such things? Please bring your master before the goddess of fortune. In this way, all the maidservants of the goddess of fortune arrested the servants of Jagannath, bound them around the waist, and brought them before the goddess of fortune. When all the maidservants brought Lord Jagannath's servants before the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune, the Lord's servants were fined and forced to submit. All the maidservants began to beat the rot car with sticks, and they treated the servants of Lord Jagannath, why, almost like thieves. Finally, all of Lord Jagannath's servants submitted to the goddess of fortune with folded hands, assuring her that they would bring Lord Jagannath before her the very next day. Being thus pacified, the goddess of fortune returned to her apartment. Just see, my goddess of fortune is opulent beyond all description. Your gopis are engaged in boiling milk and churning it to turn it into yogurt. But my mistress, the goddess of fortune, sits on a throne made of jewels and gems. Srivas Thakur, who was enjoying the mood of Narad Muni, thus made jokes. Hearing him, all the personal servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to smile. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Srivas Thakur, "My dear Srivas, your nature is exactly like that of Narad Muni. The Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulence is having a direct influence upon you. Swarup Damodar is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He does not even know what opulence is, for he is simply absorbed in pure devotional service." Swarup Damodar then retorted, "My dear Srivas, please hear me with attention. You have forgotten the transcendental opulence of Vrindavan. The natural opulence of Vrindavan is just like an ocean. The opulence of Dwarka and Vaikuntha is not even to be compared to a drop. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences, and his complete opulences are exhibited only in Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan Dham is made of transcendental touchstone. Its entire surface is the source of all valuable jewels, and the Chintamani stone is used to decorate the lotus feet of the maidservants of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a natural forest of desire trees and creepers, and the inhabitants do not want anything but the fruits and flowers of those desire trees. In Vrindavan there are cows that fulfill all desires, like Kamadhenus, and their number is unlimited. They graze from forest to forest and deliver only milk. The people want nothing else. In Vrindavan, the natural speech of the people sounds like music, and their natural motion resembles a dance. The water in Vrindavan is nectar, and the Brahmagyoti effulgence, which is full of transcendental bliss, is directly perceived there in its form. The gopis there are also goddesses of fortune, and they surpass the goddess of fortune who abides in Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion. As it says in the Brahma Samhita, the damsels of Vrindavan, the gopis, are super goddesses of fortune. The enjoyer in Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The trees there are all wish-fulfilling trees, and the land is made of transcendental touchstone. The water is all nectar, the talking is singing, the walking is dancing, and the constant companion of Krishna is his flute. Yes, the effulgence of transcendental bliss is experienced everywhere. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is the only relishable abode. The anklets of the damsels of Vrajabhumi are made of Chintamani stone. The trees are wish-fulfilling trees, and they produce flowers with which the gopis decorate themselves. There are also wish-fulfilling cows, which deliver unlimited quantities of milk. These cows constitute the wealth of Vrindavan. Thus, Vrindavan's opulence is blissfully exhibited. Srivas then began to dance in ecstatic love. He vibrated sounds by slapping his armpits with the palms of his hands, and he laughed very loudly. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these discussions about the pure transcendental mellow of Srimati Radharani. Absorbed in transcendental ecstasy, the Lord began to dance. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstatic love, and Swarup Damodar was singing, the Lord said, "Go on singing! Go on singing!" The Lord then extended his own ears. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love was awakened by hearing the songs of Vrindavan. In this way, he inundated Purushottam Jagannath Puri with love of Godhead. Finally, the goddess of fortune returned to her apartment. In due course of time, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, afternoon arrived. After much singing, all four Sankirtan parties grew fatigued, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love increased twofold. While dancing, absorbed in Srimati Radharani's ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in her very form. Seeing this from a distant place, Nityananda Prabhu offered prayers. Seeing the ecstatic love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu did not approach, but remained a little distance away. Only Nityananda Prabhu could catch Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the ecstatic mood of the Lord would not stop. At the same time, kirtan could not be continued. Svarup Damodar then informed the Lord that all the devotees were fatigued. Seeing this situation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his external senses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then entered the flower garden with all his devotees. After resting there for some time, he finished his afternoon bath. Then there arrived in large quantities a variety of food that had been offered to Sri Jagannath and a variety that had been offered to the goddess of fortune. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished his afternoon lunch, and after his evening bath, he went to see Lord Jagannath. As soon as he saw Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to chant and dance. Afterward, accompanied by his devotees, the Lord enjoyed sporting in the lake called Narendra Sarovara. Then, entering the flower garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his meal. In this way, he continuously performed all kinds of pastimes for 8 days. The next day, Lord Jagannath came out from the temple and, riding on the car, returned to his own abode. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees again chanted and danced with great pleasure. During the Panduvijaya, Lord Jagannath was carried, and while he was being carried, a bunch of silken ropes broke. When the Jagannath deity is carried, at intervals, he is placed on cotton pads. When the ropes broke, the cotton pads also broke due to the weight of Lord Jagannath, and the cotton floated into the air. Ramananda and Satyaraj Khan were present from Kulinagram, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great respect, gave them the following orders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda and Satyaraj Khan to become the worshippers of these ropes, and every year bring silken ropes from their village. After telling them this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed them the broken silken rope, saying, "Just look at this sample. You must make ropes that are much stronger." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then informed Ramananda and Satyaraj Khan that this rope was the abode of Lord Shesha, who expands himself into 10 forms and serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After receiving orders from the Lord for the rendering of service, the fortunate Satyaraj and Ramananda Vasu were highly pleased. Every year thereafter, when the Gundicha temple was being cleansed, Satyaraj and Ramananda Vasu would come with other devotees and with great pleasure bring silken rope. Thus, Lord Jagannath returned to his temple and sat on his throne, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with his devotees. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the Ratayatra ceremony to his devotees and performed the Vrindavan pastimes with them. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited and endless. Even Sahasravadan, Lord Shesh, cannot reach the limits of his pastimes. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends chapter 14 of the Madhya Lila, performance of the Vrindavan pastimes.